I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
It's basically a sing-along book that has a positive message about not being afraid or discouraged to try. You know, every accomplishment starts with that first step of trying. Even if they're afraid to do anything, you know, they have to try first. So that was kind of like the basic premise of the book.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. We have taken a little bit of time off, but we are back at it again. I have a lot of guests lined up here coming up in the next few weeks. I'm very excited about today's episode. We have another musician on this show. Really happy. We're always excited to have musicians on The Dad Experience. They have a soft spot in my heart. But I know that it's always enjoyable to talk about music, and especially during this time, you know, a lot of us are, as we record this, a lot of us are in quarantine, so we're utilizing music and art right now in our lives, with our parenting, with our kids, and it's a great experience, and today's guest is nothing short of that. Today on the show, we have Greg Lato. Greg is a songwriter, and he's also a children's author. We're going to talk a little bit about his book, Try, which has a song that goes along with a book, and his upcoming album. So without further ado,
welcome, Greg, to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, really excited. We were talking off air. Our listeners can't see your amazing LP vinyl collection. It's pretty sweet. So for my listeners out there, if you're LP fans, he's got tons of them, which is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So Greg, we like to start the show off with, who lives with you at home? What's the makeup of your household?
Well, I live with my wife, Christy, and I have two daughters. Sienna is six. Well, she'll be six in 2 weeks. And my other daughter is three, Brianza.
Wow.
So yeah, the four of us here hunkering down.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're in the midst, while we're recording this, we're in the midst of the quarantine, the coronavirus quarantine. Do you guys have anything planned for the birthday? I know it's tough. Like, my wife and I both had birthdays during this. And then my youngest daughter is going to have a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks as well, on April 24th. Yeah. But,
The 24th?
The 24th.
Mine's the 25th, my daughter.
Okay, yeah. When you said a couple of weeks, I was like, "Wow, it's that's they were close birthdays." But yeah, we've you know, for our birthdays, we kind of, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was we've done them. Mine was my milestone 40, but I mean, it is what it is. It's not like the end of the world to me. My wife and I did a little bit of stuff, but the kids ones are the ones that are getting me the worst. Are you guys have anything planned? Are you guys going to do anything? Or have you thought about what you're going to do during this quarantine?
We originally were going to do like the trampoline park, you know, thing with classmates and everything, but obviously that's not happening. So we kind of made up a little home party with the four of us.
Nice.
And we told her, you know, pick a room in the house and we'll do like a slumber party and make her feel like something's happening, you know, because we're very limited with what we can do.
Right. So as we said, we're in the quarantine. Are you guys on total stay at home in your state? I know in Michigan, we're at stay at home, only supposed to go out for groceries and things like that. So we've been hunkered down now for like 2-3 weeks, school's all online, all that good stuff. How is it where you're at? What's kind of the situation?
Yeah, same here. Our state does have a stay at home order. So, you know, just go out for groceries and, you know, get the occasional takeout and stuff like that. So not too much.
No, there's not much. What are you guys doing to try and pass the time? You know, it's tough. It's tough to keep them active. You know, we're family that doesn't love to have screens. We're very interactive family, but man, during this quarantine, it's been hard to just kind of manage all the screens and finding time to just keep them occupied at every moment, or try and get through this together. What have you guys been doing to kind of pass the time and keep the kids occupied?
Well, besides working from home, also doing the distance learning, so that keeps them occupied throughout the week, the Monday through Friday. Other than that, I mean, we have a nice big backyard. They go play and run around, and that's what they're doing right now. But, you know, just try to limit the screen time, you know, that's the thing, because they could really, you know, spend hours in front of, you know, watching cartoons and all that. So we do a little of that and watch some movies and stuff, but really try to limit that and play board games and do stuff like that as much as we can.
Yeah. It's different. How long is your, do you guys know how long your stay has been extended to? I know ours has been through the basically we can, they're thinking we'll be able to go back on the first. Now schools aren't supposed to go back unless something majorly changes. And I'm a teacher, so I'll be working from home through that. But, and I'm sure my guess, my assumption is they're going to start increasing the groups by small quantities. I wouldn't imagine they're going to say, okay, you can do everything again. You know, that's my guess. I don't know, but when is your order stayed through right now? Do you know?
It's like May 8th is like the same latest one, but I don't really see that happening. I think it's going to be extended throughout May.
I do too. But you know, what are you going to do? We all got to do our part, I guess, right? To try and get through this. So
exactly.
Well, you know, we'll get into what we were going to talk about today. You're an author, you're a musician. So can you tell us a little bit why, you know, creating and sharing music for children is so important? I always love to ask this question of our musician guests, because I believe it's an important thing for our kids and their creativity, but it's always neat to hear other people's perspective on that.
Yeah, I think, this is new for me, the doing children's music, whereas before I've always done regular like pop rock stuff. But, you know, since I've had kids, you know, it changes you, obviously. And, you know, it makes you realize that music for kids is such a great teacher. You know, it's, you know, it teaches kids lessons that they take with them for life. You know, you hear, you know, when we were kids, Schoolhouse Rock, like all Sesame Street, you know, it's like things that we learned from those shows and that music, we still think of today, you know, it carries us through life. So also like teaching them new words, memorization, it's amazing how kids pick up lyrics. You know, it's like my kids are 6 and 3 and singing words to songs that I could never remember, you know, it's like, but so it was being a part of that kind of community, and it seemed a lot more meaningful to me than what I was doing before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right. You know, what's neat that I've found from my personal experience and maybe yours too, that the music to me has gotten a lot for children, at least the people that I've talked to and I've listened and shared with my kids have gotten a little less sing-songy. There's still the messages and there's still a lot of the deeper messages now, even that we're trying to teach our kids about, you know, people and interacting in society and all that. But it's neat to see, because in my opinion, when I was a kid, I really remember, other than Sesame Street, really, and a few other places, the music was really sing-songy and simple. And I know and I understand a lot of that's for kids to start understanding, you know, if things have to be easier and simpler for them at that time. But now it seems like with the creation of music, it's better quality. The music's better written to me. It just seems like in this day and age, I don't know why, but maybe just because I'm a dad now and I'm experiencing it more. Yeah. But it just seems that way. Cause like I remember Sesame Street, and Sesame Street always had great writers and songwriters and singers. But a lot of the other stuff that was coming out, and maybe it's the advent of technology that more people are able to share, but it's pretty neat to see the different pieces of music being created and all the music that's created now for children. Whereas, you know, when we were kids, we had to go down to the record shop to get an album for kids, or we had to, a lot of my albums were, I don't know if you remember the book on tape, which was book on record when I was a kid, right? Where we used to have the records with the little books that had music with it or that had whatever. So it's pretty neat to kind of see that evolve and change over time. So talking about you've just transitioned, you said, more recently to from pop rock type music to children's music. Where do you get your music or your ideas for creating children's music?
Definitely from the kids. I mean, what I started doing is just, you know, I would follow them around the house with a guitar and make up funny songs to things that they do. So, but it's like something that I would never have thought of, you know, that I could do, or, you know, was even interested in doing, until you have the kids, you know, there and you're creating stuff on the fly. And the ideas just started flowing, you know, it's like whatever they would do, cleaning up toys or, you know, playing with socks, like anything, sharing anything to do with what they were doing. I would just make up songs and they would actually laugh and respond to it. It was almost like you have your own focus group, you know, like getting the reaction right there. And, you know, it was immediate. You know, that's what was fun to me. You know, it's coming up with these ideas on the fly. And then some of those ideas actually turned into full-fledged songs, which is cool.
That is cool. And I was I'm always curious if you get your ideas from parenting and experiences with parenting. And that's, it's neat and refreshing to see that, because obviously if you're doing that, there's obviously parents out there that are having similar issues, and they can rely on a song that might be able to help them get through some of that stuff, which is really neat. We had a chance in our house to read your book, Try, which was awesome. It was a great story. The artwork in it is really cool too. That was another thing that stood out to me with that book. The artwork is great. The message is great. There's an accompanying song that goes with the text in the book. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and kind of how that evolved and that project came about?
Yeah. Well, I read to my daughters every night, and I was reading a particular book that, it didn't have a song associated with it, but it sounded like it could be, you know. So at that moment, you know, the light bulb went off in my head, and I went to my home studio and dug up some ideas that I had previously that were just sitting in my hard drive doing nothing. And one in particular was the music for Try, but it had different lyrics to it that I was working on that were not kids, you know, associated lyrics. But, you know, I changed the lyrics to kind of be more of a positive message for kids. And the song Try was born. So the song was born first, because I'm a songwriter first out of anything, before being a singer, before the book stuff and all of that. So the song was born first, and then I had an idea to turn it into a book. So then I had to find an illustrator and all of that kind of stuff. But the message for the book, all of the text in the book are the lyrics to the song. So it's basically a sing-along book that has a positive message about not being afraid or discouraged to try. You know, every accomplishment starts with that first step of trying, even if they're afraid to do anything, you know, they have to try first. So that was kind of like the basic premise of the book. And then all of the actual logistics into, you know, creating a book take effect, you know, which is a whole other thing in itself.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, and I'm glad that I'm not the only parent out there that starts to make up songs in their heads or melody to the lyric, to the text in a book. There's a couple in particular that I know that it's like, man, this would just be a really cool song, you know, for kids, that the text is great. And it's just the rhyme scheme it's just really interesting. That's like, man, why isn't this a song? And I try and go look, and then it's not a song, but I wish it was, but I'm glad I'm not the only one that does that. Sometimes I think it's strange that I'm thinking the song in my head while I'm reading a story, why did you think it was so important to combine music with the literacy aspect of it? You know, to have the story that goes with the music, because it's not very common that I come across a musician that has a book as well that married the two together.
Right. So like I said, because the song was born first, so I started getting visuals in my head about the concept of the book, where it has the split page. Every page, if you open the book, one side, it has a dark shaded side, and the other side is a lighter shade. And on the darker shade side is something the child is going through, like an issue maybe at school or at home, like, you know, like bullying or even an illness, where, you know, every split page addresses one of those issues. And then on the lighter shade side is a positive outcome that came from that. So like on one page, as you've seen, once the dark side is the first day of school, which can be kind of scary for a child. And then on the positive side, on the light side, they made a friend. So, you know, simple messages like that, that kids can understand and comprehend, but that doesn't necessarily go with the exact lyric of the book, but it just ties into the overall positive message that, you know, the song is trying to send.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So you've been creating music for children. and you've got some great stuff out there. And you mentioned earlier this has been a newer kind of avenue for you, right? So what made you, other than having maybe it was just having your own kids, but what kind of made you transition from that pop rock artist to let's focus more on kids' music?
What I love about children's music and children's music artists is if you listen to their albums in general, the genres are all over the place. You know, like there's never like where what I was doing before, it's almost like a record had to be one cohesive statement or, you know, genre, you know. And I've always loved all genres. My iTunes library is all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I can name artists that are like from Michael Bublé to Metallica to like and everything in between, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I always tried to do that with the pop rock stuff, but I don't want to say it didn't work, but I never was understood in a way that I think now in this genre, it's almost expected of you to play around with different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like on the record, the album that I just finished that's coming out, it's all over the place. You know, I have like 80s inspired stuff, you know, ballady stuff, rock stuff, you know, Beatlesque kind of things. It's kind of like all over the place, you know, so that's what I love to do. I had more fun making this new music than I've ever had before. You know, I love that, how I can mix it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of the album, your album is going to come out with June 5th, around June 5th. Is that the plan?
That was the original plan.
Okay. Okay.
So now we're kind of like, my team is reassessing, you know, when we can come out with this because of everything that's happening.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to have a lead time for publicity and all that. Yeah, so
absolutely.
We're looking at that, and you know, it's quite possible it may not come out till the fall at this point.
Okay. So stay tuned to like your Facebook pages and stuff to kind of get that, the latest info on that. So yeah. The album is going to be entitled Create My Own World, right? Correct.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the inspiration, but the influences, are there any major like musical influences that influence this album? You know, you said you listened to a lot of different genres of music, a lot of different styles, but are there anything particular that kind of inspired the album, and is there an underlying theme to the album?
As far as influences, I was able to draw from all of my different influences, which, you know, my favorite thing is like 80s pop,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like Phil Collins, you know, things like that. I worship Phil Collins, but you know, trying different like power pop type stuff too as well. It draws from a lot of different things into one record. But like the overall theme is kind of all over the place too, whereas I have fun, silly type songs. And I also have, there is one song that is about being a dad, you know, it's called What Daddies Do. And it's kind of like a heartwarming ballad to my, from a dad, me, to my daughters, you know, so I have one of those too. As well as songs that are fun, but they have a hidden message, like as far as teaching kids to share, stuff like that, where it's said in like a, not a preachy way, but in a lighthearted, fun way that kids can sing along with.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. And I love that you have the 80s influence. I don't know if it's been lately. I mean, I've always been into the 80s music, but Phil Collins too, man, he's been on my iTunes or my Apple Music playlist nonstop lately. That and Genesis, Phil Collins, yeah. Genesis and all that good stuff. But it's good stuff. I got to see him live twice. One time I saw him, I can't remember which album was. I remember the album was like Orange. I can't remember.
Dancing through the Light.
That's it, Dancing to the Light. That's the album. That was the tour I saw him on. That was a cool tour. I was like first row, right? It was in the round. It was super cool. And
that was like 96, like around 96.
Yeah, something like that. And then I saw him do a big band show where he was the leader of the big band playing drums, which was cool. The people in the audience didn't get it, and he didn't get a great response. But, man, was that a great show, and he had some good musicians on that show.
I saw him on his last tour when he just came to Boston. And, you know, I mean, he sits down now and – you know, but it didn't matter to me because you know, I'm just glad that I was able to see him again. I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's starting to sound great again, you know. It is. Yeah.
And it seems like kids, like I talk to my high school students a lot, and that's the music a lot of them are listening to. You know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around just because growing up kind of through that genre into the 90s as well, doesn't seem like old music to me. Maybe that's just me getting old, but like, because I grew up listening, you know, I listened to the Beatles, I listened to the Stones, I listened to Dylan, I listened to Hendrix, and those kids listen to that. But now it's like, you see, when we were kids, we used to wear Beatles t-shirts, or we used to wear, you know, these great bands. And now you see kids wearing Nirvana shirts or NWA shirts. And it's like, it's throwback to them. And I still can't grasp that in my head, you know, being throwback, but it really is.
Yeah. What's that? Classic rock, basically.
It is. It's funny to turn on a classic rock station and hear, you know, a Stone Temple Pilots tune. It's like, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, 80s is oldies now.
It is.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, we like to kind of close our show before we talk about where they can find you and all that good stuff. We have a reoccurring segment called Things We Can't Wait to Share Through Our Children's Eyes. Is there something that you're excited to, or maybe you've already done that you got to experience with your children? That you got to relive again, or just something you just got really excited about and that you couldn't wait to do with them?
So what I'm really excited about is when they get a little older, I'm excited to see their reactions to, you know, classic albums that I've listened to. You know, we're staying with this theme now of 80s, all the classic 80s movies, like Back to the Future, you know, like the ones that I grew up loving, and just watching those with them. And seeing their reaction for the first time, because we can never have that again.
Right.
You know, it's like if the first time I heard Thriller, you know, or Purple Rain, I can never have that again. You know, it's like a one-time thing where it's like you can never have that experience again, but we can have those experiences through our kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking forward to seeing their reactions and what they think of it. And because I was sitting in a movie theater watching Back to the Future, I saw it when it came out in the theater, I'm that old. Yeah. And I was just amazed. You know, I walk out of the theater, I remember like in amazement of right. how great that movie was. And now I can have that again, pretty much, you know, for the most part, like by watching them. So that's what I'm looking most forward to.
Yeah, those are some great things to experience with them. I mean, that's something that I always talk about too, that I'm really excited to share with them. And, you know, speaking of Thriller, I still remember watching that on MTV, but more so than the video. I liked the video. It was great. It was obviously iconic for its time. I used to love watching maybe this is the nerd kid in me or whatever, but I loved watching the making of that. You know, they would play yes. that quite a bit right after they would play the video or right before. I can't remember now, but man, I would watch that on repeat, which was so cool to kind of see the creative process of that and how neat that is. I can't wait to share that with my kids. I don't know if that will stand the test of time because it's been years since I've seen that kind of short documentary, but it's a cool thing to see and experience. So I agree with you 100%. I can't wait to share those things with my kids as well. So you can tell us a little bit about where folks can find you. Maybe, I don't know if you are or not. I thought I maybe saw something on your Facebook page, but I am not sure if you're doing any online concerts right now, sharing music or anything like that. But what do you got? Where can folks find you? How can they, get the book and all that great stuff?
So I have a website, greglato.com, and also I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Usually it's Greg Lato Music for all of those. And the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, through my website. And I'm all over iTunes and Spotify, anywhere you can get music. So I have been doing Facebook Live concerts on Saturdays, mm-hmm. Doing like previewing songs from the upcoming album. I think on one of them I did a story time with the book and then performed the song.
Cool.
Because that's pretty much the only way we can get out there and, you know.
Right, absolutely.
I had a bunch of school shows because I do a lot of schools, bookstores, and libraries.
Mm-hmm.
And usually during reading week, which is around May, I have a whole slew of shows that probably not going to happen, I would guess. Yeah, I already had a couple of things canceled, so.
Yeah, that's such a bummer. Well, hopefully some of that stuff will get rescheduled for you and you'll be sharing that music. In the meantime, folks can find you at your website and get all the latest greatest from you. Well, I really appreciate you stopping by and sharing your book and sharing your music and your ideas and your parenting with us today.
Thank you very much, Adam. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. And we'll put all that information, your website and all that good stuff in the show notes. So folks just can find below the show, wherever you get your show, right in the notes, you can click on the link and get all that great the book and all the great information from Greg. Well, until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.